Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Discover our 2-to-1 offers at your local Kia dealer. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. We all remember the song Convoy, which portrayed the life of a truck driver and truck drivers in the United States of America with their CB radios has been very interactive, very enjoyable. The open roads, the long journeys, the bit of crack with the between the truck drivers. But it's changed dramatically, or so we're told, if the UK has anything to go by. Tomás O'Leary. Tomás, good afternoon.
How are you doing, Joe? Are you well?
Yeah, good, thanks. I hope you are as well. You're an international truck driver.
Yeah.
Now, I pointed out earlier, one of our listeners said, when there's a storm in the UK, and I presume it's vice versa, but when there's a storm in the UK and all their pylons and electricity goes down, you would see a horde, a convoy of VSB trucks heading to Rosslare and Dublin Port to go over to the UK to help them out. And he was making the point, would Irish truck drivers not do that in their hour of need? Would you work as a truck driver on the landmass of the UK, Tomás?
I started my trade back in 1988 when I took my test. I took my test in the UK, mm-hmm. and I drove in the UK till 2000. And back to when I was driving then, there was a bit of respect for drivers over there. But now, at the moment, there's absolutely no respect for us. The conditions we're parking in.
Give me pictures. Give me images when you say.
Right, you pull into a motorway services mm-hmm. on in any of the major thoroughfares in England, the M40, the M1, okay. or around the M25. Right. First of all, parking in there, it's a problem. Because there's very, very low visibility. You go in there, you're touched for £25 sterling minimum to park there overnight.
Oh, are you okay?
There's no security. Your trailer can be interfered with. ID if you have a soft side trailer or a curtain sider, the curtains can be sloshed and the load tampered with. Your diesel could be stolen. You're not getting a proper night's sleep because you're listening if there's anything mm-hmm. going on in the back. And when the police are called, they don't want to know. They'll take a picture and they'll give you a crime number. You can go back to your insurance. But, like, that's just one aspect. You go to the wash area.
Okay.
Shower or wash, and half of them are broken. Tiles are missing. Some of them, the state that they're in, you wouldn't wash your dog in it. It's not a nice environment for people to work in. Plus, when you get to a place, there's always a problem. You're either too late, you're too early, or we didn't order this stuff. It's not due till next week. And go away and we'll find out what it is. Like, you go to deliver in the continent.
Yeah, well, that's right. Give me comparisons.
Right. First of all, you're parking in Europe. It's free of charge. Right? That's a big thing. When you're out for a week or 2 or 3 weeks, cash pints are not readily available in a lot of places, you know, so you have to budget the cash that you have in your pocket. But you go into a place to deliver, and the first thing to say to you is, hello, would you like a cup of coffee?
This is on mainland Europe, as we call it.
Mainland Europe, yeah. You're treated much better. The conditions are better. The driving, you're driving in most of Europe, you probably know yourself, Joe, most of the European motorways are two-lane motorways. Mm-hmm. And the traffic just trundles along happily and there's no panic, you don't have the traffic jams you have in the UK. In the UK, they have these, what they call them now, smart motorways designed by idiots. There's no hard shoulder. If I blow a tire, I basically have to get to one of these lay-bys that are situated about every half mile apart. And then when I get my tire changed, I have to get a 44-ton truck rolling from stop to start with guys coming down behind me at 130 kilometres per hour.
Oh, God. So you're saying, and just if Tomás, if you would as well, do you talk, where in the last few years, were you talking to other, you know, this whole thing, the Polish truck driver, the Moldovan yeah. truck driver, who've all, well, they were told in 2016 during the Brexit referendum, foreigners go home, and it looks like they took that advice. But what yeah, would the, what was their experiences of driving in the UK that's driven them all off the island?
I was talking to two. Lithuanian drivers mm-hmm. in Calais on Thursday morning.
Right.
We were taking the train back into the UK, the Eurotunnel. And they said they have jobs now with better pay. Both of these guys were working in France. And they're on better pay. Mm-hmm. The pay is equal to their French counterparts. Okay. The conditions of employment are better. When they were in the UK, they were spending 3 months living in a truck and then going back for 1 month.
Good God.
Going home for, like, not being funny, this truck I have is probably one of the proper range for living in. Like, I can stand up and put my trousers on. I've got a microwave, I've got TV, I've got a fridge freezer and coffee maker here. And Wi-Fi and whatnot. So a lot of the guys wouldn't have that equipment in their vehicles. But, they're spending 3 months. Like, if I spend 2 weeks in this thing, it's a long time. Like, you're talking about a metal coffin, really. It's, what, 8 foot wide by 6 foot from the windscreen to the back of the mm-hmm. cab. And about 7-8 foot high.
So my answer to the question, though, Boris Johnson the other day at the Conservative Party conference, he hardly mentioned the fuel problems, he hardly mentioned the supply issues, but his line seemed to be the flogging will continue until morale improves, that this is yeah. This is going to work itself out. This is a natural kink when as we move to a much better economy. What do you think of that argument?
Well, I think the fuel supply and everything is all there. Like, I'm involved with the delivering foodstuffs.
Okay.
Now, that's happening. That's going through. But a lot of the bigger companies that are holding back deliveries because they want to get Eastern European drivers back in at low rates of pay.
Okay. But apparently, you know, they put out a plea and they said, we'll give out visas, which we weren't previously given out. And I heard of it. Yeah, but many have apparently only less than 100 have applied.
No, 127 applied.
Okay.
The guys I was talking to in Cali, they said that those 127 are probably guys that are resident in the UK illegally at the moment that have applied.
Okay,
because anyone that's moving back home, like i.e. Poland, Lithuania and those countries, they're actually getting a better pay. Their standard of living in those countries has risen, so they're getting more.
Yeah, yeah. We know that's happened, especially in countries like Poland. So short answer to my question: it's probably a naive question. Would you go over to help out? The answer is no.
No.
Okay. Stay there, Tomás. Joe with RT.ie for listening in Holyhead. 00353 208 2980, or it's better even email us with your number and we'll ring you if you're listening at any, listening in Dunkirk, you're listening down in Dover. Ray is in Kilbarrick in Dublin. You're an international truck driver, Ray. Good afternoon.
Hey, Joe.
Would you go over and help them out?
No, because the one thing over there is traffic is a big problem as well, Joe. You sit for hours on motorways.
Yeah.
And you just waste time. Your whole day would be gone sitting in traffic. And another thing then is trying to find parking in the evening. And when you do, you have to pay between £25 and £30 sterling.
Yeah, I didn't know. I thought they'd be glad to have you and you'd be topping up with diesel and buying something in the cafeteria or whatever.
No.
And do you pay here in Apple Green or Circle K if you want to park overnight?
No.
Oh, okay.
But in the UK, like £25, £30 is a lot of money. Over 5 days.
Of course it is. So tell me about you, which I wouldn't have been aware of, that you think the traffic is even, well, it's picked up here dramatically, but it's even worse than here, is it?
Oh, yeah, every day, like, there'd be delays. Like, if I'm up in the north, I'd be listening to BBC Two, and you would hear the traffic on the motorways would be closed for hours upon hours every day.
And you're stuck.
Oh, that's it, yeah. You just lost your whole day in it, and you'll be trying to race for a boat to get home. Or...
But have you ever done deliveries to locations in the UK?
Oh, yeah, all over the UK, yeah.
And what reception do you get?
Well, you're treated as every UK driver treated as well, you know.
But would you be like Tomás was saying, on the continent, if you arrive with a delivery, they do appreciate what you've just done, what you've come through.
Oh, you get a lot more respect in mainland Europe, yeah, definitely. You definitely get more respect and better facilities as well, and you pay half the price on parking for the night, plus then you get a voucher and for your food and shower vouchers as well. So in the UK, you couldn't even use the facilities.
Why?
They're that bad. They're filthy, dirty.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and the food is takeaway. It's fast food, if that's what you want to get in the services.
But I thought the truck stop in the UK was a phenomenon, going back to Bedford trucks and Thames trucks.
That was in the olden days, Joe, but, you know, since all, no harm, but Eastern Europeans more start going into the UK, they've just upped the rates on everything because they didn't want them parking and staying for free.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah. Good God.
Tomás
O'Leary. Yes, Tomás.
Yeah. Those truck stops, like Lim truck stop would be a big one there on the M56 and M6 split.
Okay.
That one took over by your services. And the old truck stop that was there, which we could get a decent meal and a shower, and that's gone. It's took over by one of these multinationals. The same with Holly's. And the big problem as well with us, we get off the boat in Holyhead. The Road King in Holyhead was where, if you were doing a split break, you'd go there to finish out your rest period after coming off the ferry.
Okay.
They've closed that, and British Revenue have took it over, and we can't park there no more.
So it's an endemic. It seems to be there's a whole series of issues in terms of the way the UK have been treating truck drivers in the last 5 or 10 years or whatever.
There's nowhere to park in Holyhead now, only on the lay-bys. And when we get off on a ferry break, we have to park up within an hour of starting in the port. It can take 20 minutes to 40 minutes to get out of the port of Holyhead.
Right.
And that leaves us with 20 minutes to find secure parking, which is a lay-by for the night.
So we haven't... So we're not going to get any Irish-based truck drivers to go over to the UK and sign up with HGV?
No. I'm an owner driver, Joe. And if I do loads in the UK, I can go into the UK, do a load from point A to point B within the UK, but the next load I put on, I have to be either going out into mainland Europe or coming back into Ireland because of the laws of cabotage.
What's the laws of cabotage? Explain that to me.
It's basically, if you're a foreign registered vehicle, that you can only do a load, one load in the country, that you can't...
You can't pick up and drop, yeah.
Like, because there's their licensed hauliers are over there. I'd be taking work from them. So we're not allowed to do that. And they do, with the RNPA cameras on the motorways, they know if you're doing extra loads because they see you're going up and down on the motorway.
And is this all since Brexit?
No, that's cabotage has always been there. But since Brexit, more pronounced, it's a bigger issue now.
And what about Scotland and Wales?
Same thing,
but I know it's the same jurisdiction, effectively.
Yeah.
No, we're a lot necessary of evil.
No, you're in, what, they see truck drivers as a necessary evil.
Even in this country, we're treated like that as well, you know, over here.
Well, tell me that, Ray, because tell me about Ireland, because are we in danger of the same issues arising?
We are short, but we're not in the same situation as the UK with fuel shortages, and there's no shortage of food and stuff, but you know, like the UK, but just over here we're a necessary evil, you know.
Well, tell me, give me examples.
Well, I'll tell you, though, right? This new customs thing they've set up in Dublin Port, right? You want to see the facilities that we have to use in there while we're waiting, and you could be stuck there maybe for 1 to 4 hours waiting to get the trailer cleared.
Well, tell me about the facilities, our lack of.
Well, there's the port-a-loo toilets that are filthy and smelly. And I rang up the company that was running it, and I got no response. And they say, oh, it's back to revenue because it's on customs property. Mm-hmm. But like, you want to see the toilets are filthy. There's no even wash your hand facilities or nothing in it.
Even in the pandemic.
In the pandemic, I complained last year about it, and I was told go speak HSE. Got onto the HSE, none to do with us. But it just passed on all the time.
But Dublin Port is one of the most profitable bodies in the country.
Yeah, that's why they work. That's why they are. They won't spend any money.
And can you get a cup of coffee down there?
Oh, you can in the Topaz, yeah.
Oh, well, that's that's a private operation.
Oh, yeah, but that's the only place you'll get it.
Okay. And what about other mokras, and when you deliver in Ireland, how are you treated?
Oh, sure. Like, on the motorway, the car won't let you pull out.
Yeah.
You know, they see you want to indicate out, and they'll speed up to keep you back in so they can get by.
Okay, well, let's stay there. We're talking about, or trying to find is, would any Irish truck drivers, male or female, go to work and help out in the UK? Joanne is in Holyhead at the moment. You're queuing to get on the ferry or get off the ferry, Joanne?
I'm on the ferry, Joe, heading in for Dublin now.
And where are you coming from?
Well, I was in Sweden and I come back through Holland.
Okay, fair play to you. And would you take up the offer of working in the UK rather than driving all the way to Sweden?
Most definitely not. No, not for all the bloody tea in China, to be honest.
Why?
You know?
Why?
I worked over there a couple of years ago for a Northern Ireland company, and you know, to be quite honest, the standards and the facilities and the way you're treated over there is just horrendous. You know.
But you're over there at the moment. You're in Holyhead.
Yeah, but I'm only transit. I got the boat from Holland this morning. Got off the boat from Holland this morning and straight to Holyhead, like, and getting
Fair
the boat back to Dublin.
Fair play to you. And what are you carrying? And what were you carrying out? And what are you carrying back?
The best of Irish beef went out.
Good woman.
And lamb.
Good woman.
And fruit and veg back in then from Holland, you know.
Pearls from Ireland. Well done. And Joanne.
Yeah.
Now, Joanne, just give me more examples, because a lot, you're consistent, but the other truck drivers we've had on, they say the way truckers are treated by police, by garages, by suppliers when you arrive, and also the facilities are brutal in the UK. Is that your experience?
Oh, it is, without a doubt, you know. Like, from the time you get off the boat and come into England to the time you leave it, everyone's trying to take money off you, be it the police or the enforcement agencies and what have you. And then you go and you try and find a bit of parking. You know, if you're going to spend £25-30 there in the parking and motorway services,
yeah, everyone's saying that.
It's not even secure. All your diesel gets robbed and the load gets robbed and tampered with. And you go to park in an industrial estate then, and you have a hobby bobby come along then and knock your door at 3 o'clock in the morning and tell you you're parked on a double yellow line, that you can't park here, and then you get parking fines and the police are involved. And
what do you call them, Joanna? Hobby bobby?
A hobby bobby, yeah. You know, the security fellas, they want to be cops, but they're not, you know.
Okay. By the way, Joanne, is it a job you'd recommend to younger people?
I would recommend it, yeah.
What do you love about it, if you do?
Well, I just love being away and seeing all the different... Yeah, it's like every day you open your curtains, you're looking at a different scenery, you know. And, you know, it's an experience to a certain extent as well for, you know, people want to do a bit of travelling. And the only thing is you have to be good with your own... with your own head, because you only got yourself to talk to for most of the week.
And like, your own company. What are the facilities in your cab?
In the cab, I don't have it now. I used to have a microwave and stuff like that, but I just have a gas cooker now and a fridge, a freezer.
Okay.
That kind of gets you by, especially, like, I needed the microwave when I was doing the English walk, because... you know, you just couldn't eat the food that, you're expecting to buy. You do your own cooking and that, but like when you're away in Europe, like the facilities are nearly second to none, like as regards food-wise and getting a meal and a shower and a wash and, you know, it's like chalk and cheese, you know, like even when you do put into any of the motorway services or the parking areas, when you open your window, all you get is the way you rot the place, like, you know.
Yeah, all you get is what, Joanne? Sorry, I lost you there.
The smell of weed, it's just...
Like, okay.
step out of the trucks and just go anywhere kind of thing. And it
because there's no access to proper toilet and washing facilities.
Yeah, okay, and since the COVID, they won't let you into any of the premises then to use toilets inside.
Of course. So but it just sounds like a nightmare working in the UK as a truck driver.
It is. It's crazy. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody, you know.
Okay.
I think they should flood it and put small little boats, lake out and put small boats on it.
Okay, say there, Joanne, if you can. I know maybe you have to get out of your truck and on the ferry. Nigel is in Mayo. Nigel, would you go to the UK to help out?
I probably would, Joe, if I hadn't worked here. Just to experience, because I never worked in England. So if there was no work here, I'd be willing to give it a try. But after listening to your previous callers there, I'd have to think twice.
Why? Because of the facilities and the way you're treated?
Yeah, because the facilities and definitely the way they're treated, you know, over there.
Yeah. Have you ever delivered in the UK?
No, I've never delivered in the UK, no. But if I needed, I could get work over there because I would have all the relevant tickets for fuel, for carrying our fuel. But
okay.
It's just something that, you know, if I hadn't worked here, I'd think about it.
Okay, let's say there, Nigel and Joanne. Paul Keogh is phoning us from a truck stop in Lim. Where's Lim, Paul?
How are you doing, Joe? Good. Lim is there at the junction of the M6 and the M56 in the UK. One of your callers had mentioned it earlier on.
Oh, it's a big truck stop or whatever. Okay, you've heard
it. It is indeed. It's fairly full, and I'm looking at two or three other Irish lorries over here.
Okay, well, what do you think of the argument? So far, the majority of our truck drivers are saying, male and female, they wouldn't go to work in the UK. What's your position?
I have worked for Irish companies in the past, and I now work for a company in the UK.
Okay.
By far and away, I have the best terms and conditions and pay that I've ever had.
Right.
Simple as that. Pension schemes, uniforms, everything, you know, all the things that you normally have to buy for yourself, you're looked after here by the company. Well, I suppose it depends on the company. I have to work for, I suppose, what would be considered a small to medium-sized company. There's about 120 trucks on the road, and they're extremely good to work for.
And are they short of drivers, Paul?
No, not at the moment, because they're a good company, they have a good reputation.
And they pay decent rates?
Anywhere between £15 and £19 an hour.
Okay.
So if you do a 10-hour day, you're on £150 plus your night out money, which can be anything from 25 to 35 quid.
And have you ever applied for jobs? Are you from Ireland? It sounds like you are.
I am. I'm from Dublin originally. Yeah.
And Paul, well, have you ever applied for jobs here, and what's your experience?
I have. Sometimes I think, God, I wouldn't mind working back at home. So I'd ring up companies that I'd see advertising jobs, and they'd say, oh, yeah, we're looking for people, and we're offering this, that, and the other. And I'd say, well, I'll tell you what I'm getting, and, you know, you take it from there. And when I tell them what I'm on, nobody's ever rung me back because they can't match it.
Okay. And Paul, so what do you think of Boris Johnson? Well, he just seems to want to ignore the problem, to say it's just a kink in the system at the minute and everything will be better. Morale flogging will continue until morale improves. But what are you hearing from other drivers, or have you noticed other drivers not appearing anymore, gone back?
There's an awful lot of drivers gone back, and there is a shortage of drivers here. You know, you can see the age profile of the drivers is kind of older. There are very few people coming into the job, but I think that's the same whether it's at home or over here. Mm. Do you know, it's hard to... I spent a number of years doing continental work.
Okay.
And, you know, it's fine at the time. But if you want to, you know, when you're raising a family and it's hard, because I often say that an awful lot of Irish employers treat the job, it's more a vocation than an occupation.
Okay.
Do you know that? I mean, I work for companies where you're away 3, 4, 5 weeks at a time, 6 weeks at a time. I knew guys who were away 7, 8, 9 weeks at a time. You know, I would never do that now anymore. I work 5 days, I have my weekends off, I know when I'm working, I know when I'm off, I know when my holidays are, okay. I know how much my holiday pay is going to be. You can budget.
And, Paul, would you recommend it to a younger person as a lifestyle, a truck driver?
A young, single person, yes. But okay. if they've any intention of having a family or, you know... Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's difficult. It's difficult. It makes life difficult.
And back to one theme that's emerging is that truck drivers are not respected in the UK, no matter where you are, be it delivering, be it at a service station, be it with the police, be it with security staff, be it with toilet facilities. What do you think of that argument?
I think that the facilities on the continent are, without a doubt, superior to what you're going to find in the UK.
Okay.
But I think you also have to know, once you, you know, and a lot of the drivers that you were speaking to would know, you know, the services between, let's say, Holyhead and Dover, Holyhead and Immingham, Holyhead and the ports. And services are, you know, they're not great. But some of the truck stops are fairly good. There are still some truck stops, but, you know, they're a disappearing species.
And what do you think of the other thing the drivers were saying to us earlier on, that the traffic in the UK is bad?
I think traffic all over Europe is bad. If you've driven around the peripherique in Paris,
if
you've driven around, you know, Frankfurt or Maine, traffic there can be every bit as bad.
Okay, say with us, Paul, if you can, for a sec. Vincent McNally. He says, I'm not a truck driver, but I'm only back from 8 days in the UK. Tell us, Vincent.
How are you, Joe? Yes, I've just come back from an eight-day holiday visiting relatives over there.
Okay.
And I swore when I got back to Holyhead last night that I would never, ever drive on the British roads again because of the traffic congestion.
Wow.
About the arrogance of the truck drivers in particular. They did a lot of hassling when you're traveling along motorways, indicating to you to get out of the way. And, you know, I'm going somewhere. You're a tourist. You're not really needed here or wanted here. But the stop to service areas as well.
Right.
And the truck drivers, the amount of trucks that were parked, and they were always parked the furthest away from the building.
Yeah.
And the facilities weren't great in any of the service stations that we stopped at.
Okay.
We only did it for a convenience stop and that. But they have to do it because of course, it's their livelihood. And they needed more than I do. So, and I was a bus driver here for years in Dublin or in Ireland, the Republic. And I would drive around Ireland for the rest of my life without ever, you know, enjoying it. But I just could not enjoy. And my poor wife, who was navigating me through the 8 days, she came home more wrecked than I did because of the hassle, the roundabouts, the where to go and what to do. And I just felt very, very stressed.
Sounds like you were overwhelmed by the traffic over there.
I was absolutely overwhelmed. It's just...
By the way, what was the general attitude towards you? People, did you notice any change there?
Well, I don't know about change because I hadn't been there before driving, but I just felt that people were anxious about petrol when I was in the Newbury Stansted area visiting relatives there. They were anxious about fuel, but when you went outside the Greater London area, there was no fuel problems. And it was a general conversation. But generally speaking, England and the British roads are just overcrowded, I think. And the amount of roadworks going on is just incredible.
But you're saying, you're adamant, that's the first thing you said when you got off the ferry here in Ireland, having come from the UK, I'll never go back there again because of the traffic on the roads.
I could not enjoy it anymore. I could never, never, never do it.
Okay. And Joanne, who's still in Holyhead, I hope. I hope you're moving soon. You need to get home to your family. But Joanne, can you not bypass the UK now with the, isn't it Rosslare Dunkirk?
You can, Joe, yeah, but if you're going to Scandinavia, it's kind of going the long way around.
Oh, was it? Yeah, you know? Okay.
Like, if you go Rosslare to Cherbourg, then you've an awful long drive to bring you back around to where you would have been with just, like, one day's drive and say...
So how do you get to Scandinavia, then? How do you get to Sweden?
I get the boat from Dublin to Holyhead and then drive across then to Harwich. Ferry from Harwich then to Holland, and then from Holland then across Holland into Germany, up through Denmark, and then into Sweden.
Wow. So how long would it take you to get from Dublin to Stockholm on a truck?
We'd normally leave on a Friday, and you'd be up back home Sunday night.
Wow. And that includes all your mandatory rest breaks and...
Yeah, well, you're getting breaks on the stuff, and then you've one on land then you head up the rest of the way.
Of course,
then.
Yeah. And is it a lonely job, Joanne?
It is kind of, yeah. But you know, it's been that way for years. Well, apart from when you go into one of the truck stops on the continent, that Irish truck, like, you say, hey, know, and you're going to be having a couple of drinks or a bit of food inside in the bar, like, but it's kind of changed a bit now as well, whereas not all Irish trucks have Irish drivers in them, which is a completely different thing. So, you know, there was a time when you'd go over and you'd knock on the door of an Irish truck if you needed a hand or, you know, if you just wanted someone to go up to town with or whatever, like, you can't really do that now because they don't speak the language.
Okay. So, Nigel, tell me the story about you were talking to buddies of yours who were drivers about Tesco.
Yeah, they were saying that a friend of mine was telling me that he was bringing stuff, bringing I think it was food from Germany over to England.
Yeah.
And he got several calls from different companies trying to offer him more money to bring their product over other companies' products. That there was such a shortage of stuff that they needed it brought over.
Oh God! And what are you saying? He'd be offered more money and
more money and maybe a fill of fuel.
Wow! Sure, fill it. We did it before. A fill of a tank of diesel in a big Scania is €1,000, is it?
Every bit of it, yeah. I'm sure it would be, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're also an ex butcher. They're looking for butchers as well, Nigel.
That's right, yes, Joe. If you could clone me. Yeah, they're looking for butchers. So I hear over in England they're slaughtering pigs on a daily basis
they're culling the pig herds.
Culling, that's right, yeah, where they can't get butchers.
They're killing them and burying them under, anyway.
That's right, yeah, they can't get the butchers to process the meat.
Okay. But you say you would go to the UK?
Look, I never worked in the UK before any time in my life, but... If there was no work here, I wouldn't mind going just to try it. But having listened to your previous callers there with traffic congestion and whatnot, I'd probably say no now.
Say no, okay. Yeah. Joanne, when will you be back home?
I'll be off the ferry in Dublin now this evening. See what happens then, whether I dip home or not. Like.
And how far have you to go from Dublin?
Well, the depot's only just out in Naas.
Right.
But like I live down in Wexford, so like I've kind of an hour and a half like from the job when I get there. So sometimes I'm not worth the while going home and coming back up. So.
And when are you heading off again?
I don't know. If I speak nicely to the boss, I might get a week at home.
I think your gas, the way you say, Joanne, sure, the depot isn't too far from Dublin Port. It's Naas. If I said to someone in here, listen, will you drive to Naas this afternoon? They say, sure, it'll take me 3 hours to get to Naas through the Red Cow. But anyway, you've a good attitude. I hope you do get a few days off, Joanne. And above all, safe travelling and mind yourself. And Paul Coe as well, Vincent McNally. Thank you, Joanne. That's Joanne and the ferry in Holyhead, Vincent McNally and Nigel there. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And apparently the other issue with truck drivers is the age profile. A number of our callers there alluded to it, that the average age apparently in the UK is 53 and in Ireland it's 48. Now, yesterday we had that very strong call from the young mother saying she was embarrassed when her son came home, he was 8 or 9, with an envelope in his bag saying, where is your voluntary contribution? You haven't given it in. Cormac, it's your granddaughter. What happened?
She has a coat. We bought her a coat when she got out of school uniform.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, you thought, you know, I'm an overcoat. But when she went to school, I came in from Wednesday, I was out playing golf, and I came in on Wednesday, and my wife said to me, will you go, because it was raining here on Wednesday, so will you go across to the school and get my granddaughter?
Okay.
And I said, yeah, why? She said, because she has no coat. I said, why, where's her coat? She said, she's not allowed to wear the coat in school.
Why not?
Because it hasn't got, it's not the coat from the school, it hasn't got the school logo on it.
The school crest?
The school crest on it. So I said, surely, don't do a coat. They brought in this year a mandatory school coat that the kids have to wear, and the coat costs €50.
Okay.
But we didn't buy the coat. I didn't know anything about this coat. But when she was in the school, when she was across the school yard now, once she goes through the gate, she must take her own coat off.
And what do you do? Hang on, what?
And she puts the coat into a white plastic bag, which she calls the bag of shame. Because everybody knows her coat is in that bag, and she hasn't got the fuel coat. But when she walks out of the school again, back onto the main road, she can put her coat back on.
And do many of the students in the school do this bag of shame?
There's a fair few of them doing it. Because I said to her, how many kids in the school is wearing the coat? She said, I've only seen 3 or 4 of them wearing the coat, Dad.
The new coat with the crest. That costs £50.
That costs £50. Even today now, she came in for lunch here today. And I said to her, where's your coat? She said, I don't bring it to school, Grandad. There's no point.
But it's raining today.
Yeah, but she doesn't bring it to school. Now, she has to get the bus from her house and then the Lewis to school. But then she comes in here before she goes to school, leaves her coat here, and then walks to the school.
But hang on, it's an overcoat, is it?
It's an overcoat, yeah. I've actually never seen the coat.
Have you seen the bag of shame?
I've seen the bag of shame because it's here on the floor beside me. It's a plastic white bag.
And it's a coat in the bag now?
Because, no, she's gone home now.
Oh, she's gone home
now.
Okay.
She's gone home now.
But
our coat is usually on the back of the chair here.
But
so I'm not bringing the coat over to school, Dad, because they only put it in that plastic bag. You'd have to carry it around me. When she goes from class to class, she has to carry the coat with the bag around her.
But how is an overcoat part of a school uniform?
I don't know. Apparently this year they've made it mandatory.
Well, has she got a school jumper and a school...
She has the school jumper, the school uniform, the track suit, the whole bit. She has the whole 9 yards, except this coat. Why does she have... And it's all... Don't get me wrong. I can go out and buy the coat.
Okay.
But out of pure... You know, what about the other mothers who have 2 or 3 kids in the school?
No, that's what we were hearing yesterday about other issues in schools, yeah.
Who have to buy 3 coats. My daughter said to me the other night, Dad, I'll buy the coat. I said, no, what, out of principle, I wouldn't buy the coat.
And could you, like, it's you say the coat with the crest is €50.
Yeah.
How much is it, insofar as you know, how much is a coat without the crest?
A
similar
coat without the crest. Well, we spent, I think my daughter spent about, I think she spent over €50 on the coat she's wearing going to school.
Okay. So it's a, well, yeah.
But she can't wear it without the crest. She can't wear it on the school property without the crest.
And can you buy a crest and
felt? You can't buy the crest separate. No, they won't sell the crest separate. If they could buy the crest separate, I'd buy it and my wife would sew the crest onto the coat.
I'd put a bit of Velcro or whatever. Yeah,
a bit of Velcro or whatever. But you can't buy the crest separate.
And has anyone raised this with the school board and management?
I'm amazed that nobody else has raised this. I only found out about this on Wednesday. Which came in the bag. I said, what's your coat? What's in the coat on you? On you? Like it's raining. Like, it was the hell hazy, drizzly rain on Wednesday. I said, what is in the coat on you? She said, don't let me wear the coat in the school yard, in the school grounds, Grandad. I have to wait till I come out of the school to put it on me.
And who came up with the phrase, the bag of shame?
She did. She said, we call it the bag of shame. She goes out for a break period. She can't put the coat on. She can't put her coat on.
Oh, can't she not when she goes out into the yard?
No, the yard, she can't put her coat on.
Okay.
Unless it's the coat belonging to the school, she's not allowed to wear her coat in school.
But she'd be freezing.
I know.
Coming into the
winter.
I know it's warm today, but...
I don't care, Grandad. I'm not carrying that bag around me.
And she's embarrassed, is she?
Oh, she's embarrassed. She's 14, like. She's embarrassed.
Yeah, I know. Okay, and apart from that, what's the school like? It's a good school.
No, it's a great school, John. Don't get me wrong. It's a great school. I put all my kids through that school. There's not a bother on it.
Great, okay.
It's a great school now.
Who's that beside you directing you, Conor?
My wife is...
What's her name?
Phil.
Phil. Because she's making some good points as well.
Yeah.
But she's getting you to make them.
She's getting me to make them, yeah.
are you the ventriloquist dummy
there? I'm the ventriloquist, yeah. My banana will be back here. I was going to take something else there.
Well done. Well, fair play to you for speaking up for your granddaughter. Fair play to you.
Joe, I was annoyed about it. You know what I mean? It annoyed me to think that they've gone this far to make this thing. If they had sent out a note or something to say, look, we would have suggested, but just send it home with a coat and a bag.
A bit of flexibility on an overcoat during winter.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
In these times especially. Yeah. What school did you go to yourself, Cormac?
I went to Christian Brothers School at Crumlin.
And what, did you do your Leaving Cert?
I done my Leaving Cert and all that down at Christian Brothers School at Crumlin. I went to school Crumlin Tech.
Right, did you go on to third level?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Fair play to you now.
No.
And you believe, as you say.
I've visited your comment before the truck driver was there. I drive a taxi.
Okay.
And I had a fella in the car the other night. Now, what is. You take this, that's the way I got
okay.
He said to me, he was in London, he was a businessman, he was in London.
Yeah.
And he was in the shops, and he was telling me that they're putting, in the supermarkets in London, they're putting security tags on the meat.
It's so valuable, yeah. Wow.
On the meat in the fridges. They're running that short of it and it's so valuable.
This is like a security tag you put on a bottle of whiskey
a bottle of gin or a bottle of whiskey.
Oh, God.
They're putting security tags on the meat.
Wow. Okay. Cormac, will you tell Phil thanks very much?
I will. Thanks very much.
She was a great contributor to the programme.
All right.
And you were very good as well. And above all, try and convince your granddaughter that she's not to be embarrassed now. No. It's not her fault. It's not her fault. Okay, good man, Cormac. Safe driving and regards to Phil.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Sean Quinn is in the fruit market in Dublin. That's a busy spot. That's a narrow street. Sean, have you worked in England, and why have they got a shortage of truck drivers, do you believe?
Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
Good, yeah.
I've been in the transport business all my life. My father and uncle had trucks.
Okay.
The transport in England... There was an influx of drivers when England joined the European Union.
Okay.
And there was an overabundance of drivers, which brought the price of driving a truck down and lowered the credibility or the character of the driver, and brought it from a professional industry, it basically downgraded because of the drivers they were getting. But now, because of England has left, so what's happening is, most of the drivers left, they probably didn't have the right licenses or whatever the qualifications they needed. But in England, I think myself, it's a great country. Our drivers travel through England frequently. Yeah. They never complain about, the traffic sometimes is a bit of a hectic, but there is a very good national road network in England. So if you can divert from the motorway, you wouldn't need to sit there. Just take your map out or your phone. There is very good national roads. Getting back to the subject about facilities, there is an abundance of truck stops in England. There's a very good...
Yeah, but hang on, Sean. You said two things. One, that they didn't have qualifications, so they probably went back home. They must have had qualifications to be working in the UK. And secondly, what did you say? They've lowered the character of the driver.
Yeah, no, they have lowered... You see, before England joined... Europe, there was a lot. The drivers were getting paid a very high rate.
Okay.
There was a very good caliber of driver. It was looked upon as a very professional industry and a professional person. But there was such an influx of drivers came. They were going into warehouse facilities, speaking badly to the people, going into some truck stops, abusing the facilities, not paying for the parking, let's say going to the toilet everywhere outside where you were supposed to go. There was lots of issues around stuff like that, which wasn't highlighted in the media. So a lot of the real professional drivers in England had left the industry.
And that's because the businesses start paying lower wages.
Yeah, exactly. It brought down the wages.
So it's come home to roost.
Yeah, it's come home to roost. It's actually come home to haunt the English.
Okay, stay there, Sean. Royston Wilson, you're a UK HTV driver living in Ireland.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And, well, would you go back and help out?
No.
Why not?
Because standards are, shall we say, slipping, for want of a better word. I've been driving 27 years. I've driven all over Europe. I've driven a lot in the UK, but compared to the rest of Europe and what I've seen so far over here in Ireland, conditions in the UK are at the bottom of the pond.
And is that why you came here?
Well, I came here with my partner.
Okay.
Because she wanted to be back closer to her family, but now I'm here. I can't actually work over here because the RSA won't recognise any of my qualifications.
And do you agree with Sean where he's kind of saying in the last few years standards have slipped in terms of...
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I mean, when I did my licences, don't you say, 27 years ago, I could make good money. And now, if I was driving full-time in the UK, I'd be probably just above the breadline.
Because the money is so low.
Because the money is so bad. I mean, I've spent the last few years as an HTV driving instructor in the UK.
Okay.
And even that, you think that's probably a higher paid job than driving. It isn't.
And Ryson, what do you think of Boris Johnson's line, which is this is just a necessary kink that would lead to the sunny uplands and everything will be brighter?
I don't think that's going to be true either. What we have to bear in mind is there's the same amount of tanker drivers this month as there was 3 months ago. They've always been there. It's just people are buying in stupid ways, which is creating a problem over there.
Yeah, but there is. Yeah, but they say there is a shortage of tanker drivers and HGV drivers, and that's why the army are there.
There is, but then during the COVID, everybody's suffering shortages. Ireland is suffering shortages. Okay. You know, the Netherlands are suffering shortages, and it's all because during the COVID, nobody was being able to do any tests or anything like that.
Okay, and which I was unaware of, that during COVID you were being denied access to toilets and COVID was being used as the reason. Tom, stay there, Royston, please. Royston's in Cork. Tom, where are you?
How are you, Doc?
Good, thanks. Tell us, you're a truck driver for over three decades.
Yeah.
Would you go to the UK to help out?
But there you are, Joe, talking about the UK. Then you need to look at home, Joe. Don't worry about the UK.
Well, tell me, what do we need to look at home?
Well, it's a rare start, 4,000 drivers in Ireland, maybe more.
Okay, so what can we do to help?
What do you mean, what can we do to help?
Well,
there's a whole list of issues, Joe, along the line
Well, give us the list then. Go ahead, don't worry.
There's plenty of truck drivers in this country that's at home sitting, that walk when they're driving.
Why?
They took up other jobs because of the industry, the way it is.
And what's the way it is?
The bad pay.
Okay.
Some haulage companies, not all haulage companies, some haulage companies expect drivers to run 15 hours a day to their cars.
Yeah, but that's illegal, isn't it?
Well, you're allowed to do 3-15 hours in a week and 2-13 hours.
And didn't they relax them? I know they relaxed them in the UK over COVID. Did they relax them here? Yeah.
it is relaxing, but you're 15 hours a day sitting in a truck, doing 10 hours driving is a lot of work.
And you're saying you would go to help out?
I would go, yeah.
And is that a prospect?
Better pay. There's better money being offered out there at the moment, Joe.
Oh, is there? Okay, there's better money being offered across the water. And when do you think...
Well, look at the standard of the truck driver here. We're not classed as professionals. We're being told we're being professionals, but we're not classed as professionals.
Right.
We're the lowest of the low in this country.
Well, who says that, Tom?
Because we are, Joe.
But who's...
Did you ever go sit in a truck with a truck driver for a week and see what he has to put with?
Well, tell me what he has to put up with, he or she.
Well, he has to put up with warehousing where he's told, oh, you're late, oh, you're early, you're going to have to sit for hours. Then your haulage company is on the phone, what's keeping you, what's going on here, there, that's another problem.
Yeah.
You go around the corner, every corner you go around, Dora says, out stopping the truck driver. There's no need for their estate to be on the road. Have all the haulage company's information. Why don't they go to the haulage company's yard and get all the information there instead of the name the drivers on the road?
And what are the RSA checkpoints doing?
They're just holding up drivers.
And what are they trying to find?
They're just out to any drivers. The drivers won't come on and tell the truth.
But Tom, they're hardly just out to annoy you.
Of course they are, Joe. Well, okay, that's all they're asked to do. Well, when they hold us up on the road.
Yeah, but what do they check?
Well, they check the lorry to make sure it's right, and to check your digicard to make sure it's right. So we all our digicards is right, Joe. You can't go over 4.5 hours driving. You have to take a break.
Okay, you say, last line in your college, we are treated like trash here in Ireland.
Exactly, Joe.
Wow.
We're treated like trash in this country. We're not, and lads are saying, oh, no, it's a great job. We are, Joe, we're treated like trash.
Yeah, but Tom, the people, and I say this to Royson and Sean as well, who are on the other line, the people in Ireland and anywhere else not realise without trucks, we wouldn't have our cornflakes in the morning to begin with.
People haven't got the brains even to think about that, Joe.
Okay.
You think about it. You get up in the morning, the first thing you make is tea or something. Sure, a truck driver has to bring that to your door.
Good point, yeah.
People get into their cars, they don't forget one thing. A truck driver brought the car to the country.
Yeah, and all the... It's
the worst paid profession in the country.
Okay,
for
Sean...
For what we have to do every day of the week.
And Sean,
we live in our trucks 5 days a week.
I know. Sean,
maybe 6 or 7 days a week.
Sean, do you think truck drivers in Ireland are treated like trash?
I honestly say a lot of truck drivers sometimes bring it on themselves. But yes, there's an issue with some warehouse staff when they go there, and sometimes there's a clash of personalities.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, sometimes, you know, sometimes it's a personal thing. Sometimes the warehouse staff are stressed out. They're dealing with so many trucks. They're handling so many different personalities. Some driver can come in and say, listen, unload the truck, and he might say the wrong way to the man. But I always say the best way to get your head out of the lion's mouth is be as nice and cool as you can with them. And a lot of drivers, I know we're not supposed to be in the business of trying to understand the people so good, but it's like walking on glass. You know, you have to be as easy as you can with the people, and a smile always helps you along the way.
Tom.
Yeah. Go on.
You're an auto driver. You're your own company. Is that correct?
Yes, Sean. I'm not on the road as much as what I used to be, but I do hear a few complaints. But it's not as bad as what you know. It can be bad sometimes, and it can be good as well.
Listen, you go to some warehouses. There's a port loo outside for a driver to use. That's a disgrace. You go to some warehouses in this country. They won't even let you into the toilet. It's a human right to be allowed to go out to a toilet.
Yeah, I agree.
And the services might be free to park in. That's okay. That's grand. That's nice.
Yeah.
But the other side of it is, where does the driver get a hot meal? McDonald's or a Supermax? Sure, that's not food for a truck driver.
No, I know. On the motorway facilities is not too good in Ireland. But if you turn off the main roads and go down some of them, there's old pubs, there's Carvery lunch and all that. I know it's time-consuming and it takes an extra bit of time, but
there's things out there. If sometimes people just take a bit of time and have a look.
If you're driving to your car, you don't have time to come off at the services to go up a back road to find somewhere to park to get something to eat. You pull into a service where you can park for the night. And most truck drivers is eating out their cabs because they can't even afford to go into these restaurants and sit down and buy food.
Okay.
Or some of them do.
Irish Road Haulers Association came on to York a couple of weeks ago and turned around and said the average driver in this country is on €800 a week. Well, the average driver, or whoever the RSA is, the Irish Road Haulers Association has come up with that, it's a load of waffle. It's a whole load of waffle. That's all that's being spun in this country. The truck drivers is out there, it's not coming on the radio. They'll tell the truth, not the ones that's coming on trying to bullshit.
So if it's not 800 a week, what is it?
The average truck driver's on about €600 a week here, Joe.
Okay. And that, of course, is before tax, so there's a fair whack taken out of that then.
€600.
Take home, okay, after everything.
But sure, €600, Joe, is no good to live on in this country when a truck driver has to live in a lorry for a week. He's keeping two houses.
Stay there, Tom. Darren McCann is in Dublin. Darren.
Hey, Joe, how are things?
You drive back and forward to the UK.
I was there on Wednesday night.
And a truck.
I won't mention the Freddy Crossing, but it was Dublin to Liverpool. And inside in the cabin, there's no duvet covers. They use sheets and pillows are being used. And I complained about it and there's nothing done about it. Because a shortage of drivers in the UK. So they're saying, and the cabin is absolutely filthy.
And then
you're escorted, Joe, out of the cabin for your dinner and escorted back into the cabin on a 9-hour crossing.
But why is that COVID, is it?
No, just the restrictions they have at the minute. They're saying it's COVID, but it's never COVID. It's been like that for the last couple of years.
And why is it in a cell
for 9 hours, Joe. Why? You have to go off the far side with no sleep and they have a 15-hour shift around the UK.
But why is there no basic bed linen if you're paying for a cabin?
They can't get it. He says that they're blaming shortage of drivers. They can't get it.
Oh, they can't deliver the linen to the ferries.
Yeah, for the last 9 weeks. So the duvet on the bed had no cover on it, and it's just filthy dirty.
Oh, God.
And upon the drivers double bunking again as well on top of it.
Yeah, exactly. You're going in with somebody else with COVID distance, and they're overbooking the ferries now. There's supposedly so many drivers due to COVID, and they're throwing two lads in the same cabin.
And Darren, what's your experience recently like driving in the UK?
Well, the UK is grand to drive in. The money's good. There's no two ways about it. If you drive for an English company, there's good rates compared to back here in Ireland.
So where have all the truck drivers gone?
Well, they're getting out of the industry because of the money here. These big companies who do the container work, they're giving lads €130 a day they're getting for doing a 15-hour shift to sleep in the lorry.
Well, would you recommend a younger person to go into the industry?
No.
Why not?
And neither would I go.
No, like.
Well, I got it. That's how.
Then back then, when we were all doing the job, there's no social media. There's young lads now are going driving and they're sitting in London taking a 24-hour break and probably not getting paid for it. And they're looking at their friends having a great life at home.
So they won't.
On the phone.
Yeah, they won't.
In the cab,
okay.
Looking out the window, no facilities. And the only place you can use a toilet is jump between the cab and on the catwalk in the UK.
Okay.
And then, as it says, you're going out then again then and you've no bed linen. You're sitting in a cabin, escorted out, back in and... So what's the point getting into it?
And who escorts you out?
The staff escort you. They bang on the cab and say, your dinner's ready. You bring two or three years up. And it's like being in a prison. And you all sit around in a room. And then after your dinner, then half an hour, right back to your cabin.
And what's the food like?
Oh, rotten, Joe.
Oh, good luck. Okay.
Absolute. Oh, frozen food.
Okay, reheated. Okay, Darren, thanks to you. Darren McCann, Tom Rice and Wilson. I've heard of Dixon Chicks. They're a very reputable company. Back after this.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I'm not in that position, but when I hear that ad about hearing aids, do hearing aids make that such a significant difference in your hearing? You suddenly go from muffled hearing to clear as a bell hearing. I'd love to know. And it's something we did before, people with hearing difficulties. Obviously, it's a challenge doing it on a radio programme, but I'd love to hear from people with hearing difficulties and what does make a difference to their lives today, hopefully positively. Sarah, good afternoon. Back to schools. What happened in your son's school?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
My son has recently changed their school polity and they've changed it two black leather shoes just there in September.
Okay.
And 50 of them last week were sent home, leaving Sturt students for not having the correct shoes on.
They were sent marching home. What were they marching home in?
In their shoes. They were sent home.
Yeah, what type of shoes? They're obviously
black
not black.
Runners. They wear black runners. So they've been allowed to wear just all black plain runners for the last 5 years. But the policy has now changed in September. And they sent 50 of them home last week with the result of...
What time did they send them home at?
They sent them home before lunch.
Wow.
Thursday morning.
And did the parents know that any parents were out?
Well, I'm not sure what the backlash was. I'm sure there was a huge backlash.
So you have to have black leather shoes.
Black leather shoes with no logos. Plain.
Laced or slip on?
Any laced or slip on, but they're not allowed to have any logos on them, and you have to be able to wipe them clean.
Wow.
But these children have missed 6 months with COVID, Joe. They've missed six months of learning. And, to be sent home and for the ridiculous, there's more going on in the world with the poor children's mental health.
Here. Great point.
That the Morton shoes, these children have had an awful lot of weight on their shoulders coming in after COVID, as well as trying to do a leave and cert with missing 6 months of their education. It's just not good enough to send 50 leaving cert students home. It's outrageous.
Did anyone raise it with the school, or do you know? I presume.
Well, I don't. You see, it'd be confidential. You wouldn't know. But, there's a dean. They'd have a dean out the front, a six-year dean out the front every morning, putting the children who didn't have the shoes before that to one side to give out to them for not having the correct shoes. These are 18-year-olds. They're men. They're not boys anymore.
Yeah, of course they are.
They're men, and to be treated, to be humiliated in front of their peers, be put to a side over a pair of black shoes. They're nearly out the door at this stage. They're leaving the school.
Mm-hmm. We don't want any of them leaving before they get the full benefit.
Yeah, and this is the problem, you see. You're going to get school refusals now because of this. Because they don't want to go in and be berated for not having the correct shoes.
They'll be sent home, yeah.
The school has no understanding of people's financial way people are affected with COVID.
It's been so tough the last 2 years. Stay there, Sarah. Martina, what happened in your school?
Hey, Joe. So I totally empathise with the last caller there. We have the same situation in our school. I have two boys in the secondary school, and similar like that now with coats. They're not allowed to wear their own own coats. They have to wear crested jackets, which are very expensive. Mm-hmm. And again, if you're not wearing the right coat, you're made to take the coat off. So they've even this week, we're all brought out of the classroom, all lined up, made to take off the coats, even though it was cold outside. And all told they must take off the jackets. And even when some of the students pushed back and said, look, it's freezing, they were told it didn't matter. They didn't care. The coat had to come off. And I think in this day and age,
Why?
Because they're worried. All they seem to care about is the aesthetics. It's the same. It's the coats. It's the school shoes that your last caller spoke about. And in our school, it's haircuts. So if you don't have the right haircut, if you don't have the right shoes, if you don't have the right coat, you're in big trouble, and people are sent home, and people are even suspended. And again, I just don't understand it. I just think they seem to be completely out of touch with reality of two things, of parents having the expense of having to, have coats for people, for kids outside of school, as well as coats for us in school. But also even,
that's a good point. If I have an overcoat that I have to with a school crest, I won't wear it out that night to meet my mates, will I? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have to buy two lots of coats.
Yeah, very good
point.
And
people that have, a few kids, and especially, as you said, whether it's a pandemic or not, lots of people have different financial circumstances, and it's just completely unnecessary. And the other side of it too, that last lady spoke about, is mental health. I mean, my son has been in trouble several times because of his hair, because he wants to go to the barbers and get what is not an outrageous haircut. It's a perfectly normal haircut, the same as every other teenage boy going around the country. But he was brought in one day, and they brought in a male teacher in his 50s and said, you should get a haircut like, Mr. X, this teacher, which is laughable. This is the message they're giving 16-year-old boys, that, they have their notion of what the right look should be.
Yeah, but it has to be. There has to be leeway in the new world, the PC post COVID world, and there has to be some taking on board the last 2 years and what people have been through, which we will never know the full extent of it. Never. Yeah. Not today, not next month, not next year, not the next decade.
Look, I mean, one point, Joe, is, and I could be wrong, but I thought that a few years ago the Department of Education had put out a circular to say that, you know, not all uniforms had to be crested and things like that you had to be able to wear alternatives. But that doesn't seem to be enforced at all or applied at all.
Oh, it doesn't. But they're also, the department also put out a memo saying voluntary contributions are just that, they're voluntary. But as we heard you today, the man that came home in the young child's school bag from the school made no mention of an option not to pay. The only option you were given was pay now or pay in installments. OK, Sarah and Martina, thank you both. And kind regards to your students.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Christopher Buckley, back to the truck driver shortage. Would you go to the UK to help out, Christopher?
Well, not in my case, Joe, no. I have a reasonably good job with a multinational company or so. I don't need to. But I did just want to make...
But you're a driver. That's what you do.
I know, yes, but yeah. I don't need to go. I'm happy enough doing what I'm doing here. I just wanted to make a few points, Joe, in relation to why there is a driver shortage and why it's going to worsen, if I may. Number one is, you've heard about the rates of pay, which are poor enough when you start breaking them down into hourly rates. And what the other gentleman said earlier about the average pay is between 600 and 700 take home a week is true. But you're often working 70 hours for that and perhaps away at night time as well for it.
Oh, God, yeah.
The other thing is, it's not just the rates of pay, it's the way they're paid. An awful lot of hauliers, for maybe reasons of their own rates or whatever, they pay a small amount in basic pay, and a lot of it is made up of expenses. So the trouble with that is, while you might say a driver takes home 600 or 700 euro a week, maybe 150 of that could be made up of expenses. Now, the problem lies when he takes a week's holidays, he doesn't qualify for those expenses, so he gets a far lower rate. And when there's a bank holiday, he doesn't get the expenses. Furthermore, no young drivers are entering the profession, because if they do a year or two and they go to the bank armed with their basic rates of pay, these expenses are not taken into account. They cannot qualify for a bank loan or a mortgage or anything like that. So it's really a career that's leading to nothing from that point of view. The other thing is, no young drivers are entering the system because of the fact that, and understandably, there has to be health and safety rules, but in the old days, young people were able to travel around in trucks and get a kind of a grow, we'll call it, for the job from the ground up and learn from watching their fathers.
The freedom and the travelling in different places.
And now they can't go. So by the time they can travel in the truck now, they're 80
Why can't they go?
Because there's so many rules around health and safety and insurance with no passengers and factories not allowing entry and all these kind of things. It's very prohibited. So by the time they're 18, they've discovered there's other handier ways of making money, that they don't have to maybe spend 5,000 or 6,000 euro to get into
there. Well, it sounds like we should start, as a country, start getting your act together about truck drivers and treating them well, and we're going to be in the same situation.
There needs to be an apprentice scheme.
Yeah.
Set up by the government where these young people can travel and can enter premises. And the other thing I'd like to say is, there is courses available for driver training getting your license, but they are only available to long-term unemployed people. And most people who want to drive a truck are already kind of working or want to work, and being long-term unemployed is not really an option for them, and therefore they do not qualify for these courses. So really the government needs to look at the apprentice schemes and making people who genuinely want to get into these courses, making them more accessible.
Okay, well, point well made. And safe travelling. That's Christopher Buckley. Fergus Sweeney is producer, series producer, Rebecca Meehan, researcher, Richard Byrne. Sound is Liam Mullen. Sunday night, half 10, The Meaning of Life is with the veteran campaigner, but still as strong and as lively as ever, Eamon McCann. I think you'll be reading about Eamon at the weekend because of various anniversaries. But he's on The Meaning of Life Sunday night at half 10, RT1 television. And Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia.
Going electric? Plug into the Kia e-range of EVs and PHEVs.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815. Stays open until 3:15 p.m. Or email joe@rte.ie.